It's Helping Hand. Weekly feature airs statewide. HPR 1 stations on Friday as part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered. And then online at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. That's where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are archived. Each week, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and those among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. This week, we are wrapping up our second year of offering 3 weeks in a row of covering Hawaii's homeless crisis, which, despite some progress, and real progress this last point in time count, it remains the most severe per capita in the United States. You can hear our two previous segments with IHS, Institute for Human Services, and Mental Health Kokua, both archived at HawaiiPublicRadio.org in our Helping Hand archive. And we're concluding the series with local nonprofit Alea Bridge, who they have focused on outreach of the homeless and other at-risk populations in a specific area of central Oahu we're going to hear about. They've been working for the last few years trying to make inroads there. And we'll learn more about their recent progress, too, with our very special returning guest, Phil Acosta, who is spokesperson for Alea Bridge. And what did you say? You have a new title, too. You're executive director now?
Well, I don't use it as much, but you know, it doesn't really mean anything. But yes, technically, I'm the executive director for our nonprofits.
So we love that.
And that just means I get to do everything.
Exactly. It means a lot of work. Well, it's great to have you back. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
You're welcome. And explain to listeners how Alea Bridge, because there's a lot of organizations, there's a lot of ways people can help different organizations wherever they are. And homelessness is happening all over the islands. But then when you dial in, there are unique little populations, clusters, and ways that certain nonprofits and service providers are trying to help out. And explain how it connects you guys to the issue.
Sure. So, we got started a little over 2 years ago, and I think we came in at a good time and, you know, serviced a specific area in the island where there weren't really any consistent services or accessible facilities and things like that. And so the community really embraced that. You know, it was a need. They had a growing homeless population for past 10 years. And so, you know, I think we came in, kind of filled that niche. That need that the community needed, and you know, it's great to have community support.
And so explain both the specific geographic area and the noteworthy background story on how your brother really instigated this effort, which has sprung into a larger grassroots movement.
Sure. So the inspiration to start up our own nonprofit, you know, that started with my brother, formerly with HPD, and his last post was, patrolling that area between Mililani and the North Shore. And, you know, in his experience, he just saw that, you know, there was a need in the area. He wanted to do something about it. He reached out to your family, reached out to me, and, you know, we wanted to be supportive of that. And we didn't really know what we were doing, but we knew we wanted to do something. You know, so we set out to engage the community, and, you know, things just kind of evolved from that. My role as an executive director evolved from that, and, you know, just started doing some things to help with the address the homeless issues in that area, what's referred to as Region 5, which covers Mililani, Wahiawa, North Shore, which extends out from Kaena Point to past Turtle Bay. So it's the single largest geographic catchment area on Oahu. Third largest concentration of chronically homeless folks, which means they've been out for more than a year. They have a diagnosable disability. So quite a bit of folks that are high needs in our area and very little resources. And so we set out to change that.
And since we last spoke, a lot of stuff has happened, and stuff on the level of Alea Bridge events and things that you guys have been putting together. But relating to the point in time count, there's been another one. There's been several. Every year there's another one. But the last one, there was some real movement in the Honolulu area numbers. They did drop a bit. But like they did elsewhere, the situation still is the worst in the country for the state. And it looks, in Honolulu, at least, as you walk around, whether you're downtown, Waikiki, the entire area in between it, it looks really bad. It'd be hard to visually say to yourself, oh, this is better. But I believe that those point-in-time count numbers showed a little better. When you think about the geographic area you were just describing where you guys service, talk about the movement that you see or don't see.
Absolutely. So, absolutely right. You know, when you see, you know, at the parks, at the beach, you know, on the sidewalk, the homeless are still there, you know, the visibly homeless. So those are, you know, the real critical cases that we deal with. They've been chronically homeless. Mental illness is a big issue. Substance use is a big issue. So those, you know, the folks that are really visible, they're very difficult to get housed. You know, it's going to take a lot of effort from multiple different folks. And so you may not see it on the surface, but yeah, I think, you know, the point in time does show that we're making some progress, and it's been that way, I think, for the past 2 years, two consecutive years, there was a decrease. And specifically in our area, when we first came in, it's been double-digit percentage increases year after year for the past 5 years. And so the first year that we came in, you know, we really wanted to make sure we identified what the true issues were and what the gravity of the homeless population there. So when we first came in and got involved in a point in time, we ended up with a 74% increase from the year prior. And, you know, that's not catching everybody, but it did paint a clearer picture of what the true situation was. And so in the past year, we've put in quite a bit of effort in housing people, connecting them to shelters, transitional homes, permanent housing, and also connecting them to supportive services. And so this past year, when we took the lead again, you know, it did show our efforts led to a 27% decrease in that specific region 5. And so, you know, that's a promising trend. And, you know, we're committed to the community. We want to make sure we reach out to other partners out there to help us continue to reverse that trend. And hopefully we get it to a point where, you know, we can really manage that and have enough resources for everybody.
How many people? Do you have a number count on?
The last one was 281 that we successfully surveyed.
Okay, so that's the number in the point in time count that are living in that one night. That's what was seen, or the
yes,
one day.
So in that particular night on, I think it was January 22, you know, that in that specific point in time, that's how many we successfully surveyed. We anticipate anywhere from 10 to 15% that we were not included in the count for some reason, whether we did not engage them or they weren't willing to engage with us or participate in the survey. You know, other factors as well played into that, but you know, it's a fairly accurate count, I think.
And that dropped in the last year's number was?
Last year's, so 2017 point in time was 385. This year's count was 281, which represents a 27% decrease.
Right. And like you said, you can't count everybody. You don't know where everybody is on one night, but you do the best you can to try to come up with it. So the numbers do look better, and they look better in other parts of the state too. But again, we're dialing in on the specific area, the Honolulu area in general, and then the area that Alaya Bridge service, which is central Oahu. And like you said, a large geographic area too. So we said there have been some new things for you guys too, in addition to just new things like those more positive numbers with the homeless crisis. You guys started a newsletter, I see, in May. Talk about that, as well as the Resource and Navigation Center, I see, is in the works.
Sure. So in the newsletter, you know, just kind of highlighting our volunteers first and foremost. I mean, as a nonprofit, any nonprofit can tell you, you know, we thrive, and you know, we'll succeed. We won't succeed without the help of our volunteers. And so that was kind of just to, you know, acknowledge their contribution to our growth and what we're doing in the community. And you know, you mentioned the Resource and Navigation Center. And so in the last two legislative sessions, you know, the state has provided us with a significant financial backing there. And so that goes towards the acquisition and the construction and the operations of the Resource and Navigation Center. So I mentioned earlier that there's no accessible facilities in that specific region. So this would be the first and only one of its kind where we can offer emergency beds, offer transitional housing, and offer on-site services. Basically, that's what the Resource Center is going to be. It's going to be a hub of services where we can invite our partners out there, and you know, they can bring their specialty, whether it's substance use, it's counseling, financial management, you know, those kinds of things, connect them to jobs, connect them to housing. We want to make sure that everything that we need, we bring it into the community. And so we've been blessed that the legislature, you know, granted us a significant amount of money. And so right now we're in the design stage. So we're looking to finalize that, hopefully going to construction design here soon, and then take us to the permitting process, which I'm told takes quite a bit of time. So, you know, if any of your listeners are out there, you know, they're looking for a cause to get behind, something to get involved in a community, we'd love to hear from you. You know, hit us up, shoot us over an email, give us a call. We'd love to get some professionals out there kind of helping towards the cause, and, you know, to help us to build up this.
What are specific skills and roles that
you need? Sure. So right now we're looking for, you know, possibly engineers, draftsmen, architects, folks that have been involved, or general contractors that have been involved in, you know, design and construction and permitting, all those things. You know, we could definitely utilize all those skill sets to help us, you know, kind of move a lot quicker through the process. You know, every day that we don't have these facilities, you know, that's, you know, it does affect the population there. So in the meantime, you know, while we work through this process, we are utilizing that empty lot, you know, as best as we can. So we've started to host these pop-up outreach events there on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. So we've invited some of our partners, like the Mobile Clinic. It's a free mobile clinic. They've come out a couple times and serviced our homeless clients out there, anywhere from basic wound care to you know, blood draws and some screening and things like that.
It's a medical clinic.
Yeah, so it's a mobile medical clinic run by medical students and some attending physicians. We've also invited our partners at Project Vision Hawaii. Right. They brought out their mobile vision trailer and their mobile hygiene trailer as well, which is the first and only one of its kind in the state, really.
Yep.
And so they've been out there several times in Wahiawa and the North Shore. And I think to date, they've given, I want to say 400 something is the number that they've done since they launched
a folk safe
this
service.
Year. Yeah. And specifically for our area, I think we're close to about 50 clients that they've, you know, provided free hot showers.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
It's an innovative program.
Yeah. So, you know, in the meantime, you know, while it sits there vacant, you know, we'll continue to invite our partners to bring their
services. Smart with this mobile stuff. Works perfect while in that transitional point until you have a facility built. I mean, it's a great way and it's a great place for it, because they're going to other places where there isn't a structure. They bring the structure.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So, you know, we want to create that, you know, we want to start to build that expectation that, you know, this is a space where our clients can come and get services. This is a space where the community can come and volunteer, or our partner service providers can come and bring their services directly into the community. So, you know, we're really excited about that. Like I said, you know, we'll host that and we'll continue to promote that. This is somewhere where they can get services.
And so you mentioned volunteering. Other volunteer needs that you have currently, whether it's doing outreach for homeless, or, I mean, if you go to aleabridge.org, you'll see a cool video that shows a recent volunteer dinner that they had, and you'll see they have a lot of volunteers who are helping them out, and there's a lot of ways. So paint a picture of the broad range of things that people could get involved in with you guys.
Sure. So actually, I'd like to highlight two of our current volunteers. You know, they come in, they help us with, you know, real basic things like filing and data entry. We also have a couple of volunteers that come out and, you know, accompany us during these pop-up outreach events and outreach directly into the encampments, you know. So, you know, at different levels of engagement, we definitely you know, we welcome that. Also, you know, at this time, you know, we're also looking to expand our capacity and capability. So, you know, looking at also professional type of volunteers, whether it's a caseworker that may want to donate their time and their services to reach out to the folks that we're trying to assist, or folks that want to help us in our capacity building process. You know, you get involved with the board, board of directors, or leadership team. You know, if you've had experience in, you know, with nonprofits, or experience working with the city or the state, grant writing skills, accounting, you know, legal counsel, all those things are definitely invaluable skills that we could use to build up our capacity as a nonprofit. Again, taking us further and, you know, kind of further reaching into the community.
Any supplies that would go along now too? In addition, I mean, you put out when it comes to building, so clearly people who have a building background mm-hmm. and design background can help specifically with the navigation center that you're putting together there in Wahiawa. But are there other supplies in your ongoing outreach to folks in need that you, at these encampments and stuff that you come across, or just other ways you know best, but are there certain supplies that you're
absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. So a couple of things I wanted to mention. One, we are finalizing, we're working on a partnership with Homemade Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
That's a network of, an extensive network of professionals and organizations in the construction and building industry. And so we've got a provisional agreement with them that they will help us with the construction phase of our resource and navigation center. So that's great, where we can reach into the industry and they can provide our pro bono skilled services or, you know, deeply discounted materials and supplies. And so that'll go a long way in stretching the dollars that
right.
we've gotten from
sure.
the state. So that's a really great way to leverage that. But on a daily operational basis, we're also working with folks, you know, like churches, other schools. We just completed a hygiene drive with Mililani Middle School. We're planning for a hygiene drive at the Waterfront Plaza with some of the businesses there. And so we'd love to invite some of our partner agencies as well to join us in that. Again, just to kind of, you know, provide a little bit more visibility.
So a teacher, a school person, a church person listening, any business, they could all do their own hygiene supply drive for you.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. We try not to focus too much on food, just specifically on feeding, although, you know, we utilize that quite a bit because that's a basic need that they have. But, you know, if folks want to get involved rather than, feeding someone on the street, giving them food or money, you know, look at other things that may not be necessarily accessible to them, like personal hygiene,
right.
Hair products for females, feminine products, those kinds of things, fresh clean socks.
This is a very important stuff.
Shoes. Yeah, those things that we tend to take for granted and don't. Really think about, because it's some basic necessities that
and
we
they
have.
Could all be a drive that some organization
absolutely.
Does.
So, you know, churches are great. Schools are great. They're always looking for service projects to get involved, and businesses as well. You know, folks we've found generally very supportive.
Right.
They want to get involved. It's just sometimes finding that opportunity. And so we're open to talking story with anybody. If you know, they want to engage with us, you know, what's a great way for you to get involved, you know? And so, you know, find out where your capacities, where our needs are, and find a happy medium there where we can meet and, you know, kind of both help each other out.
It's a lot of different levels of from the board level to contractors, designers, people who have construction supplies, any different level of person who wants to volunteer to assist in a lot of different ways we've covered today. Here's how to reach out to this organization, aleabridge.org. And there's an email contact form online, but you can also go to info@aleabridge.org and send an email that way. You can call them at 808-492-2214. You can reach Phil directly, our guest, at 808-391-3571 or pacosta@aleabridge.org. And I've got all of their contact information, the full-length interview, the radio feature, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests, all archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand in the pull-down menu. Things that we didn't cover that are important to get in there.
Sure. Actually, we're starting our efforts of doing an in-reach into the schools. Particularly, we're targeting our Title I schools in the area, meaning over 50% of the population participate in kind of
food stamps and stuff.
Yes, exactly. And so, so we're looking at Kipapa Elementary, Wahiawa Elementary, and Ka'ala Elementary.
And what is the idea of that? What do
and
you
do? And so, you know, that we're, you know, I mentioned earlier about food, but we are building a partnership with the Hawaii Food Bank, where what we want to do, and the YMCA as well, in the area, is we want to establish a permanent food pantry in these
right.
schools. And so, you know, we'd be the partner agency that will help stock that, along with the YMCA and the school staff, you know, identify the families that are in need, and then figure out some way to some process to distribute that and get the supplies through the food bank. And so that's a way for us to kind of open up the conversation with the families and, you know, see if there's other needs there that we can address. Again, all working towards our mission of, a part of our mission is also homeless prevention.
Right.
So not just the folks that you see on the street, not just the folks that are camped out in the bushes.
Right, but the people on the edge.
That's right.
Become
that's
the
right.
next
It could be one crisis away.
That's it.
Where, you know, it's a set of tires or somebody gets ill. And
back,
you know,
your back goes for 3 weeks.
That's right. That's
anything
right.
like that.
And then
one other one follows it, and you're
right.
done.
And so if there's things in there where, you know, we'll start with the addressing the food insecurity piece. You know, that'll free up additional rent money. Maybe that'll afford you to go see the doctor.
Yeah, it prevents something. You take out some of those things, and it's a difference between falling through the cracks and not.
Absolutely. So we're really excited about this partnership with the food bank, the YMCA, and our schools in the area. Again, we've always been looking for opportunities to address the homeless prevention piece, and I think this is a great way where we can coordinate and collaborate with the school administrators, and you know we want to be respectful of the families. Needs and make sure we address that in a proper way. So it's great that we can, we can build on this partnership.
It's fantastic. Well, there's a lot of ways he has illustrated that we can all support their effort, and it sparks a lot of creativity too. Because as you can see, there's a lot of ways you can do your own thing with it. Because you see, there's so much need, and people can rally behind one specific thing, whether it's a hygiene product, whether it's socks. You can really make it a very personal thing when you stop and think about how lucky you are to have those things in your life and not have to rely on somebody else's generosity to make it happen. It's been a privilege today to have the executive director of Alea Bridge joining us again here for Helping Hand, one of the organizations that's tackling the most severe homeless crisis anywhere in the richest, most powerful country on earth and in a state a lot of people call paradise. So it's quite a mission. And Phil Acosta, great to see you again, brother. And on behalf of all those folks that you're helping to make a difference in and providing an opportunity for people to do good. Because when you do good, there's also something in that too. It's like you're giving people an outlet to do something that is rewarding, and then you walk away from it and go, I'm glad I did that. You know, I feel a little bit better by trying to help out somebody in need. Thanks for doing what you're doing. It's an honor.
Thanks, Dave. You know, it's always fun kind of chatting with you here, and it's great that, you know, you're able to give us that platform to reach out to the community. Again, not just to give an opportunity to help us out in our mission, but also, like you said, give them an opportunity to give back. And so, you know, it's really great, and thank you. Appreciate that.